2 minutes after the hour of 11, I think. I don't really know. Here's the thing. At the top
of the
hour...
It's exactly 11.
It's 11 o'clock. That's what I meant. It's 11 o'clock. That's what I meant to say. And just so you know, at the top of the hour, when I say what time it is at the beginning of the show, I don't really have any idea. I'm not going to go back and repeat my whole clock rant from earlier in the week. I'm just going to say that I don't really know what time it is. I'm just guessing. I can be way off. As apparently I am. Why, hello. It's the Rick Emerson Show. After the hour of 11 and this the month of March in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming by and making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed, yet not overly ostentatious, studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. Thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you'd like to engage with us electronically. It's Rick at rickemerson.com with your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your 2 cents, your what have you. 503-733-2970. Or Rick at rickemerson.com. Hold on, I got my crap over here. Or Rick at rickemerson.com. Thank you for coming by. All right, I've got everything into four discrete piles here. That is discrete, D-I-S-C-R-E-T-E. I have everything organized here so that we can maximize our time together today. Because there's a whole lot of things to get to, including this story, with which I'm going to blindside Jim Roop from CNN Radio later on. He doesn't know he's coming on to talk about this. And Jim Roop thinks that he's coming on to talk about retinal implants for the blind. We're not really going to talk about anything retinal so much as we're going to talk about... I'll skip the retinal rectal joke. I'm just going to say this. I don't know. This is from the L.A. Times, by the way. No, I take it back. It's not even from the L.A. Times. It's from CBS News. I'm sorry. I did not mean to slander the L.A. Times there. This is from CBS News in California. When did it become the case that you were allowed to use verbiage like this in news headlines? And again, this is not from... This isn't from, like, TMZ. This is from, like, Perez Hilton or something. Suspicious item detected in man's butt. Did they tell you that you could do that when you were studying communications, Sarah? Did they tell you to describe things that way? Right here. Dateline Los Angeles, courtesy of CBS News. This is part of CBS's strategy to get Katie Couric out of third place. She's going to start talking about butts a lot in headlines.
Suspicious, really?
Right there. Look at that. Do I lie? Suspicious item detected in man's butt. So there you go.
Well, maybe they felt uncomfortable saying anus.
In ass. So he hit it the only place he could. In his ass. Anyway, so there you go. A suspicious item. That's going to be the high point of today. I don't know what else is going to happen. God only knows what today's program holds in store for us. But this is going to be the high watermark here today. Suspicious, and it was at Los Angeles International Airport, so I have a reason to talk to Jim Roop about it. Anyway, and the best thing is that they won't say what the suspicious item is. That's the other thing. This is what makes the suspicious item even more so. I'm just going to read you the story right now before we do anything else. I'm not even going to make you wait. I'm just going to read the entire story here, and I'm going to read it again later on when Jim Roop joins us today. I will give you these phone numbers. Please don't weigh in, or weigh in, I don't care, on what this is. It's got to be something that could be conceivably dangerous, and then, I hate to keep using this phrase, but it's got to fit in your butt.
I don't know. We had the light bulb story yesterday. Who knows?
In a figurative sense. Going to read this before we do anything else. It's Rick at rickemerson.com, by the way. You can email today at Rick at rickemerson.com, or you can call in 503-733-2970. We'll do introductions and forward promoting and guaranteeing and all that here in a second. I'm just going to read this so I can get out of the way, because otherwise it's going to be one of those things that I tease, and then the end of the program is going to have come, and then we'll all be sullen and bereft of this story. An Iraqi national was detained and questioned at a passenger screening area at Los Angeles International Airport on Tuesday afternoon after a suspicious item was found. It's a news story now that I'm reading in my capacity as journalist. As part of serving the public interest, convenience, and necessity, as mandated by the Federal Communications Commission. After a suspicious item was found in the man's rectum during a body cavity search. Is there any... Really, are there three words that you want to hear less in your life than body cavity search? I don't know anybody. I don't even know anybody who knows anybody. To the best of my... I guess it's maybe not the thing you sort of take an ad out and tell everybody about. But I don't even know anybody who's had a body cavity search. That's one of those things that you think doesn't really exist outside of reruns of NYPD Blue, where Andy Sipowicz is busy slamming somebody's junk in a drawer. Well, anyway, a suspicious item was found inside the man's rectum during a body cavity search. The item, I went through, not to sidetrack myself, but I went through when I was flying to wherever the hell I was flying, San Diego a couple weeks ago. I'm flying through, and I swear to God, you're walking through that thing where the nitwits are, like, scanning your bag, and just sitting there, just picking their noses, like, looking through your junk. And I walk through, and right on top of the, like, little scanning, the x-ray thing, a big box of rubber gloves. And you know that's what that's for. You know? Some guy with brown skin or some chick with big cans comes through, and suddenly they gotta go spelunking deep within your person. And that's what that box of gloves is. There's no other reason. That's what that bag and that's what the box of gloves are for. I suppose there's the conceivable that there's some other reason for it, but you don't know what it is.
No, if they're going through your luggage, they always wear gloves.
Let me ask you this. How do I put this? When you're at the supermarket late at night and you see someone in line behind you with a bottle of baby oil, do you automatically assume that they're going home to put something really big into something really small?
You have asked this like 1,000 times.
I've asked about the turkey baster. There's a whole lot of items at the supermarket that you see them and you never really believe they're being used for their intended purpose. I'll say this right now. When you're in line at the supermarket and you see somebody, and I hate to stereotype, but especially a woman, you see a woman buying a turkey baster, you assume she's going home to impregnate someone. I know you do. No one, when is the last time you saw a woman buying a turkey baster and didn't think that? It's what everybody thinks.
I've never seen a woman buying a turkey baster.
I have, and that was the first thing that came to mind. She's going home to get Julia Cypher pregnant. That's it. You're lying at the Safeway. There's some guy behind you. He's got a big thing of baby oil. Something large and just something small. Probably over and over again. That's the first thing you think. You don't think he's got a baby. You don't look at a guy buying baby oil. I bet he's going home to take care of an infant. Anyway. After a suspicious item was found in the man's rectum during a body cavity search, the item, key phrase here, which is still being examined. How long do you need to examine something before you figure out what it is? I mean, poses no apparent threat, an FBI official said. Fadhel Amaliki was selected for a more thorough check by screen. I wonder why that was. Selected for a more thorough check by screeners at Terminal 1 of the airport about 5:40. Amaliki, who lives in Atlantic City, was taking a flight to Philadelphia. Also, his green card has expired. Now, listen to this. Anthem of Oscotti saying it's a magnet of wires, but there's also something else. See, that's the thing, is they won't tell us what the other thing is. Ethel McGuire, assistant special agent in charge of the Los Angeles FBI office, said this afternoon that Amaliki, quote, had a magnet, some wires, and, well, I don't know what the other item was. It's being about, that's got to be a fun job. We found this inside a man's rectum. Would you like to look at it over and over again? You'll have to get really close to evaluate the nature of the, yes, it's a space rock. Yeah. I don't know what the other item was. It's being evaluated as we speak. So there you go. His luggage was clean, which is more than can be said for the item he was storing in his rectum. He said the reason security officers were so cautious is that Amaliki was, quote, so bizarre in his behavior, like walking all bow-legged and saying ouch all the time. They did not elaborate on the nature of his behavior. There you go. So, right there, Jim Roop thinks he's coming on to talk about retinal implants. He's really not. We'll touch on that for like 10, 12 seconds, probably, just so I can make the, you know, I'll give it the old college so I can say, quite honestly, to the CNN booker, who will then call up and bitch at us, that we did talk about retinas. Really, it's about wires, a magnet, and a, quote, unknown item inside a man's rectum. There you go. That's what we do. All right, it's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com, rick@rickemerson.com. So we're talking about that. What else? Well, he is going to talk about this thing. Apparently, we're taking one step, we're taking one further step towards creating an army of bionic superbots. We'll talk to him about that. Lisa Goddard, I thought retinal implants they could already do. Can't they transplant your whole face in Britain? Are there people walking around in Britain now that got a whole different, it's like some guy's face that they just carved away and put onto yours? Like John Woo style? Or whatever. Lisa Gatto to talk about the latest futile, stupid, and impotent gesture by the Democrats. We will have Scotty J. join us with the suburban perspective today. And later on, we will count down the top five Alice Cooper songs you don't hear played on the radio. This is going to be the new theme of a lot of our top fives. The top five blank songs you don't hear played on the radio. So we'll do the Ted McKenzie's birthday. We missed his birthday a couple weeks ago, but we're playing a little bit of catch-up, as Gary Cole would say. So we'll do the top five Alice Cooper songs you more than likely don't hear played on the radio. We got to all of that. We'll get to all of that, and Jen Lane will join us as well, and the other things. Blah-da-da-blah-da-da-blah-da-da-blah. Oh, we'll talk about this kid's record that I bought at Everyday Music. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and still probably terrified Sarah X. Dillon. How you doing? You doing better?
I had a morning.
Here's what the phone call I got this morning. This is the phone call I got from Sarah. I'm sitting there, and it was only through happenstance that I even got your phone call because I have my phone set to silent, and I had, but it lights up. So I happened to see my phone light up, and it was Sarah. Your name, which shows up, by the way, in my phone, is Sarah Dyan. It's like, well, there's no L, it's D-Y-A-N, and I've changed it like 100 times, and it just changes itself back. The phone has just decided that your name is spelled that way. Anyway, so I answer the phone this morning, and this is, I'll try to replicate the actual sound of the call, too. I answer the phone, I say, hey, what's up? I'm in my bathroom right now, and there's a gigantic bug. What am I going to do?
And I don't even know why I called you. I just couldn't figure out
what am I going
to
do? I'm like 5 miles away. And then there's the hollow, like the echoey sound of the bathroom. I don't know what to do about this bug in my bathroom. And I said, well, where is it? It's in the bathtub, and I have to shower. And I just said, well, don't shower. And he said, I have to shower. I'm disgusting. There's a giant bug. Now, you sent me a picture of the bug that was in your bathtub this morning, and I'm on my phone is kind of freaking out of me today, so I was unable to get the picture of the bug.
I sent it to you in your inbox.
All right, so I'll post it later on?
Yeah.
It is this, like, no one's ever clarified exactly. This is like the time we were talking about nutrias, which are those big otter, possum, rat things, and it took us all day to figure out what they were. There's some weird kind of creepy, crawly creature that lives in southeast Portland, and they probably don't have this in the suburbs. They've probably gotten rid of all of it. But there's some sort of terrifying creature that lives in southeast Portland, because I find them every so often in my house, too. But not with the alarming frequency that they turn up in your house. So
it's happened 3 times now. This is the third.
And it's like a huge centipede-looking thing, but it's massive. I mean, it's like 4 inches long. And so Sarah calls me today as she's stepping into the shower. Now, I hate to ask an indelicate question. Now, were you already naked?
I was, and I started the water, and I had 1 foot in the bathtub, and I turned and looked right to my right, and like literally a foot and a half away from my foot.
Did it look around at you and glare? Did it stare at you?
It had these antennas that are like 2 inches long, and they're all wobbling around, and I screamed, and none of my roommates were there. I grabbed my robe, and I ran out, and I was pounding on their doors. None of them were there.
Now I'm getting the itch going on. I'm getting the weird, creepy. Well, we'll talk about this. It's not a cockroach. I know what a cockroach... We don't get cockroaches here. I know what cockroaches look like. I'll post the picture later on. Somebody can tell us what it is. We'll talk more about it later. It's freaky.
I'll put it up.
All right.
I put a quarter because I didn't know what to do, and I don't have Zoom on my camera, so I had to get really close to it in order to take the picture.
A quarter? I thought that was the drain.
No, that's a quarter.
Okay. I appreciate you taking the time to give it some scale.
No problem.
All right. Tim Riley's working on the following stories at the AM 970 news desk today.
Well, Democrats want the troops out of Iraq by August 2008. CBS fires Katie Couric's top producer.
Nope.
Starbucks will give away free coffee next week. And not only does Barack Obama smoke, he has 17-year-old parking tickets.
Fantastic. There you go. We've got that tomorrow. Okay, so I'm looking at the photograph now of this incident. Let me enlarge this. Now, I apologize. This is not posted to my blog yet. I'll have to do that during the break. I'm opening this photo right here of this this giant creature. Oh, it's just terrifying. It looks like...
And it moves like its legs do the wave.
Stop. Oh, God. You can't... Looking at this thing is bad enough. You can't start describing how it walks. Here's what it's not. I'll give you a list of what this insect...
Seriously.
I gotta close it. I can't look at this anymore.
Okay, I put it
on my
thing.
I know I sound like a pussy, but what are you gonna do? I can't look at this. I don't even know if it's an insect. Because doesn't an insect have 6 legs?
I can't even look at it.
It's not an arachnid.
And it's still in my shower.
It's still there. Well, no, but see, what if you go home
and it's gone.
And it's
not
in your shower. And then it's waiting inside your pillowcase. What if it's what if while you're gone it's crawled all over your toothbrush? That's what I'd be worried about.
I'm itching.
Me too. Let's all itch, shall we?
And there was no way, and I tried to get it with a cup. And its legs, because you can't even tell from the picture, but its legs look short, but they get really
thin. No, the legs look long.
Well, they get thinner, and they go out a little further, as does the antenna, so I was trying to find a big wide mouth cup. But every time I would try it, the bug would not fit in the cup. Oh, God, it was so wrong. And then I didn't want to move the cup because I didn't want to squish his legs.
That's what I'm saying. Let me say this. Here's a relatable thing. It is Relatable Thursday on the Rick Emerson Show. Let me say this. Have you ever done this? Have you ever? And I know you have because this happened to you this morning probably. Have you ever been ambushed by a... I know, I'm taking the call in just a second. Get off my jock. Jesus. I'll take it in 5 seconds. I just got to make this point. Have you ever done this? Have you ever been ambushed by some sort of a creepy, crawly creature, and it's actually so big, you don't want to try to kill it for fear that you will squish it, and then there's the unholy squishing, and even this is even worse.
I wish you'd stop talking.
The squishing and crunching.
Oh. No, his body was really big and...
Is this the guy? Is this Paul? Is that who this is? All right, this is Paul. Paul, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, I heard you talking about Sarah's bug there, and I kill bugs for a living, and there's a ton of cockroaches around here.
Okay, but this isn't a cockroach. But you're saying... Okay,
you said there's no cockroaches around here. There's a ton of cockroaches around here.
Well, maybe I don't... maybe I'm unclear about what a cockroach is. Are we talking about the same thing, the cockroaches like they have in Florida?
Yeah, there's some of them.
I never see cockroaches, and so what I thought that they lived in. Oh, now we're we can't hear him.
That's definitely not a cockroach.
All right, Paul, if you can get back in a decent cell there, you give us a call back. And now I'm all mystified by it. All right, James, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
I just wanted to thank you. Conversation goes nasty with my crunchy orange chicken.
It's what I do. Try not to think about the number of cockroach eggs that are inside that.
It's just killing me. Thank you.
That's what I do. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Hey, speaking of thank you, guess what somebody gave me this morning? Is my computer up?
Yeah.
Just as a real side note, speaking of thank you,
Andy!
There you go. I've got that. I don't even... It doesn't even matter that guy's yesterday was funnier. I've got that and I'm all ready for it. Here's the thing about that insect, though. This insect is in your bathtub. Well, no, it's still there. That's the thing.
It's still there. I left it and it hadn't moved. I kept checking on it. Like, every 30 seconds, I'd run back in and
check. The creepy thing about it is that... And I will post it. I know it's frustrating for us to be talking about this insect that nobody can see. But what creeps me out about it... Now, we've now got like three different conversations going on. One is, do we really have cockroaches? That guy says we do. Where are they? Because I never see them, and my house is filthy. My house is full of rotting fruit and vegetables. My house is full of scum. I don't know why I wouldn't have seen a cockroach by now. Secondly, this thing that's in your bathtub, it's not an insect. Because insects, as I understand it, have three distinct body parts.
God.
Head, thorax, abdomen, six legs. An arachnid has multiple eyes and eight legs. This has like 100 legs, and it's all one long, weird body. So I don't understand what that is. This is like that thing every year when they start talking about hobo spiders. And then every spider you see, in Southeast Portland especially, which is where did they... It's like they're bust into my neighborhood or something.
I think we live in a jungle.
We really do. What with the shootings and the creepy things? All right, well, in any event. All right, well, we'll take a couple of these calls here just a second. So Sarah calls me this morning, though, and she's like, I have to shower. And it was like a Mexican standoff in your bathroom where Sarah calls me, says, I want to shower, but there's this gigantic creature in the bathtub.
The creature won. He won round one.
I know that it makes me less of a man, but I absolutely understand the fear of just weird-looking creature, insect,
and
bug type things.
I mean, it was bad enough that it was just sitting there, not moving, but when it started, like, walking, and it would start weaving, and its little legs were doing, like, the wave
it's
thing.
It's advancing on you.
Oh, and its antennas were just, they were moving separately from themselves. They were, like, moving in different directions.
You can never really tell what's worse. This whole conversation is giving me the creeps.
I know.
When the insect runs away from you, because that's kind of creepy, because then you're like, oh, I gotta catch it before it hides. The other thing is when the insect is just not afraid of you.
Yeah.
And you're advancing on it with a cup or like a big brick that you're gonna smash it with, and it just looks. looks up at you.
Yeah, I dropped a flashlight like a couple inches away from it, and it didn't even flinch.
No, it doesn't get. It's not afraid of humans.
Oh, God.
It's learned to eat their brains. Just as a climax to the story here, you have to tell people how it is that you ended up cleaning yourself this morning. How did you clean your body before you came to work, Sarah?
I washed my face at the sink.
What else did you do at the sink?
I had to shave in the sink.
What kind of shaving? It's not the inappropriate. It's not the dirty shaving.
No, this is not the.
What did you shave?
I had to shave my.
You're shaving your armpits in the sink, just for that extra touch. That extra touch of hick that we were laughing. Before.
I know, but what else was I supposed to do?
I'm not saying anything.
There's nothing I could do.
That's okay.
It was sitting right, like, I would have stood, like, close. I could have maybe taken a shower if I stood right underneath the faucet, but it was too close to the faucet.
You know what?
It was in the middle of the...
Some people whiz in the shower, some people shave in the sink.
And the water started flowing toward it, and then the water, like, the current picked it up, and then it floated over to me, and it landed on my feet. Oh, I'd have to die.
All right. This is Doug. You're on the Rich Emerson Show. Hello.
Yeah. Tell Sarah it's probably a silverfish.
I'm looking at this right now. This is not a silverfish.
Really?
It's not. Here's what it's not. And again, I apologize for the picture not being posted as of yet. But here's what it's not.
I just put it up online.
It's at sarahxdillon.com. If you want to see that right now, if you have internet access, it's sarahxdillon.com. By the way, I do have to say that I love you for putting a quarter down in the bathtub. It's like you braved getting close enough to put it down for a sense of scale.
I actually put it pretty far away, and then I used the end of a mop to move it close to it.
And that's me this morning. Sarah's terrified. She's nude in the bathroom, covered in like shaving oil, and she's like, I don't know what to do, and I'm like, get a picture of it. We have to post it on the blog. It's not a silverfish. It's not a cockroach or a cockroach.
Flush it and call it good.
But
I couldn't pick it up.
Do you have a removable shower head?
No. Yeah, I have like one of those really big ones.
I'm looking, but does it come out? Is it handheld? Is my point. Do you have a handheld?
Well, no.
You got nothing to. There's no way to get it down the drain. No, and it wouldn't fit down the drain. This would not fit down the drain.
The pee thing in the drain. So, yeah, you would not fit in there.
And really, no joke, this thing has got legs that are like 3 inches long. It's got
a... Crush it in half and then flush it.
Crush it in half. It's just a bastard. All right. Thank you. Thank you, sir. All right, there you go. It's not a silverfish. Silverfish are tiny. Silverfish are like the size of a grain of rice. We're going to conclude our conversation with Paul. Hello, Paul. Paul? Great. It says here on the screen, much better perception this time around.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can really hear that. This might be him. Paul?
No.
Who is this, sir?
This is Tyson.
Hi. How can I help you, Tyson?
I have a bunch of them bugs in my basement.
And so the same bug that is in Sarah's bathtub right now?
Yes.
Okay, now what is this bug?
I have no idea.
See, that's what I'm saying. It's some sort of a mystery. It's not an insect. It's not an arachnid. It is some new, different type of creature. All right. And you just leave them alone, or how do you get rid of them, sir?
I left them alone. They scared the crap out of me.
See, that's what I'm saying.
They are freaky looking, aren't they?
You don't bother them. They sort of bother you, but you just sort of you're zen with it.
Yep.
All right. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
There you go. That's Tyson. See, so you're not suffering alone, Sarah. It's like having Parkinson's. There's always people out there that can help you. All right, 503-733-2970. And just as a side note, speaking of bathroom issues, here's a little awkward moment. When you go to the men do this sometimes, where you go into the bathroom and you're already, like, especially if you know you're the only one in the bathroom, before you even get to the toilet, you've started to unbuckle or unzip or whatever, just because time is of the essence sometimes. Going to the men's room this morning here at CBS Radio. I go into the stall, toilet seat completely gone. Just gone. The seat on the toilet, completely missing. And I'm already with my pants undone, and I'm in, like, kind of getting ready to do the sit-down.
Okay, that's enough.
I'm just saying, and then you go, and there's just a bowl. There's no lid. Also, let me ask you this.
Did you fall through? Please say
no, I didn't. But that does beg this question, which we're not going to answer now, which is, why is it that at home, your toilet seat is an O, but in public, the toilet seat is a U? Just think about it. All right, do we have to break? All right, well, we got all these insect calls. Let's put the insect aside for now. And move. We're gonna put the insect aside for now. And move on to, let's get one more. David, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Howdy.
Hi, David.
Yeah, just do, Sarah should just do what I
taught my kids to do. If I'm not around, just turn on the hot water and cook it.
Yeah, but I don't think it's too...
And it wouldn't flip.
It's too big to go down the drain, and then you've got to take a dead,
sure,
lifeless body.
Oh,
at least
God.
It's dead.
Yeah, but I'm sure that, you know, I bet he has the capability to crawl out of the drain, but I think with all of his legs sticking out and everything, I would not be able to...
You wouldn't be
drain.
Able to get him... You wouldn't be able to get him down the drain. No, you wouldn't be able to. That's he would hold on, and he would spread... You know what? He would do that thing like they teach protesters to do, the passive resistance thing, where you just go limp. And then it forces like 5 cops to come and drag you away.
God.
That's what he would do. He wouldn't be able to be drained at this point.
Well, it's either crush him live or crush him dead.
You know what they need to
tell
us?
Can I rescue him?
They need to. You don't want to.
Somebody else.
They need to sell some sort of insect vacuum that you can just sort of. And he just goes up into it, and then it incinerates him, and he comes out as ash the
okay.
other end.
How about this? Cook yeah. him, and then let the dog eat him.
Oh, that's disgusting.
That is wrong.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard. You're in the penalty box. Never call again. All right, 503-733-2970. All right, we should take a break here. We'll come back. We've already done the news. We've already teased the news.
Did we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, like an hour ago. It's okay. 503, we'll do this. We'll come back. We have more here. We have Dan. We have other calls. Lisa Goddard coming up around the corner as well. 503-733-2970. So Rick Emerson Radio. Rick Emerson Radio Show. We're back after this. You stay right here. Let's see. Rick, we were talking about this. Well, we've got now it's all insect calls, and we got a lot of email about this guy who was hiding things inside his ass. I'm sorry, inside his butt. According to that's CBS News, by the way, that's their verbiage. Suspicious item detected in man's butt. At LAX, I find that to be an unpleasant phrase. I find ass to be a lot more pleasant sounding. Well, whatever. All right. And then, because we got Lisa Goddard coming up in just a few. All of these, Rick, about the insect in Sarah's bathtub. Is it a ruler taped to a life game spinner hitting a doorstop? Stephen Camby. Thank you, sir. Thanks for that. 503-733-2970. Scotty's saying that they bite, by the way. Fantastic. So just
are you kidding? I couldn't even tell where it's headed.
Maybe it has hundreds. Well, maybe it has hundreds of mouths. Maybe it has hundreds of shiny mouths all around there.
Why do you have to be so mean? When I catch it, I am showing up on your doorstep and I'm bringing it into your house.
No, you're not. Hello, sir. How can I help you? Why, hello.
Hello.
Oh, for the love of God. All right, let's take... let's see. What have we got here? This is, where the hell did... Oh, is this Lisa Goddard? All right, well, we should do this before we do anything else. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Hill, will you please welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN Radio correspondent, Lisa Goddard in the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, Lisa. How you doing?
Hey, Rick. How are you doing? You okay? Your voice, you sound a little down or something.
Do I sound down?
Something. I don't know. You sound a little different today.
You know, you're like the ninth person. You're not the ninth person. You're the second person.
Well, he is a little bit older than Lisa.
Yes.
Yesterday was the birthday.
It's because I'm on the downward slide.
Hey.
Right now, it's all just...
I forgot about that. Happy birthday.
Yeah, thanks. No, it's just one... Thanks for saying it now that it's too late, now that my downward slide into the grave has begun, now that my long march towards mortality has taken one step further.
Oh, whatever. I bet I'm older than you.
You know, it would be inappropriate and impolite of me to ask, so I will not speculate.
You know, but I'm not one of those people that's ever, I mean, I'm sure I'll get to that point, but I'm not there yet, because I still look like a high school kid, so I'm sort of blast my age out to maybe get some sort of respect.
Well, I mean, if you feel, I'll put it this way. If you feel like at some point volunteering your age, then that is, of course, between you and your God. I at no point will ask you to give that information, you know, because it seems wrong.
The funny thing is I actually may lose respect because, you know, people, I don't know, it's a tricky age. I am 35.
See, I never would have guessed that.
See, so there you go.
I would never have guessed. I mean, I guess I put you at sort of 30-something because of some of the pop culture references
exactly.
that you make. All right, so even on my darkest days, you're a year older than I am, so...
This is why I bring this up, exactly.
Is that that trademark black humor of the Rick Emerson Show.
It's good to get past 33, though, because that's the there's a lot of superstition about 33.
Now, my whole thing, and Sarah doesn't believe me when I say this, is my whole thing, like, even turning 30 wasn't bad. Like, I didn't have any problem with turning 30. I guess I thought I would, but then when I got to 30, I was just sort of like, well, you know, this is another number. It was sort of like, turning 30 was sort of like the millennium for me. It was like the year 2000, where it's like, you know, 2000, Y2K, the millennium, everything's going to, and then you kind of got to, like, well, I still have to go to work tomorrow and, you know, whatever. It's like, you know, doesn't matter. Like, nothing changed. 31, actually, was the one that sort of freaked me out. Turning 31 was weird because then I wasn't 30. Then I was in my 30s. You know, I became 30-something at that point. So 34 is actually not so bad. I think, like, 36 might be weird because once you're 36, then you're more than halfway to 70. Then you're close to 40. I mean, not to be a big buzzkill for you. I'm just saying that's a 36, I think, for me personally. That might be the thing that weirded me out. And plus, I will also say this. Is that for a long time, I was, and these days, of course, passed a long time ago, but for quite some time, I was always the youngest person wherever I worked. Because I started in radio real young, because I'm a loser, and, you know, and so I had radio jobs where I was like 15, 16, 17, 18, you know, and I got my first program director gig when I was like, God, I don't even think I was 19, you know, and so I was the youngest person in wherever I worked for a long time. And so it is sort of bizarre to look around, you know, and to realize that hasn't been the case for over a decade now. So, in any event, so Scotty asked me that today. Scotty's like, "So, Rick, are you fine? You okay today? You seem a little weird." And I feel fantastic. So, all right. Well, but thank you for expressing concern.
Yeah. Well, don't listen to us. You know, us who see you.
No. It's fine. No, I'm. You know, it's okay. Here's the one thing, actually. Everybody's asking me if I did something exciting for my birthday last night. Well, what did you do for your birthday? Did you celebrate? Did you go out? Did you drink champagne from the slippers of chorus girls? And here's, if you want to know Rick Emerson in a nutshell, here is my life writ small.
As you notice, I respect you enough to not even ask because I know.
What did I do last night?
Nothing.
Yeah, that's exactly. I went home. My wife actually, we didn't even go out. My wife actually brought home a pizza. I actually consumed the better portion of a pizza. I watched an episode of Mystery Science Theater 3000, and I went to bed at 10 o'clock. That's what I did.
Outstanding.
And so if I sound a little strange today, it is because I got about 9 hours of sleep, which for me, and I normally get around 4.5 or 5, and so 9 hours of sleep, that almost has the same effect as having not enough sleep. I feel like my whole brain gets wrapped in sort of a weird sort of layer of bubble wrap. So if I sound a little blunted today or just a little strange, it maybe is because I actually got way more like twice the sleep than I'm used to. So, all right, we're going to move on because I'm sure that my sleeping habits are fascinating. To the that's the way to attend share right there. Let's
Knowing is half the battle.
What? See, now you're just pandering. Now you're just pandering to the geeks in the audience.
Exactly.
All right. Well, that's
who I am. One. I pandered to myself.
No, that's the way to job security is to relentlessly pander to the target demographic.
Oh, no.
Hey, just as a side note, before we even get started on the regular news, how do you deal with large insects that might appear in your bathtub or shower?
You know what? I'm a dork. I go and I get usually a little margarine tub or something, cover it up, slip the paper out, and just put them outside.
So you just sort of herd them into the box, and then you put the box outside?
Just something, and then I set them free.
All right. Yeah, Sarah's got this weird thing. We can't really decide what it is. It's not an insect, and it's not an arachnid. It's some thing with like 1,000 legs and big googly eyes, and it's like hanging out of her bathtub and won't leave. And so she was reduced to shaving her armpits in the sink this morning. And so we're trying to figure out how to deal with it.
Not saying armpits. That's a pleasure. That's the
her underarms. Her underarm area in the sink this morning. Anyway, all right. So would I be wrong in saying that the Democrats are getting ready to unleash yet another futile and ultimately impotent gesture towards getting rid of the Iraq War?
Well, you know, we can all listen at the same time. Looks like Harry Reid actually has just this minute stepped up to a microphone. I'll see if we catch anything of what he says. Hold on a second.
All right.
Let's see.
Democrats have always been unified on these principles. The mission in Iraq has changed, and therefore so much U.S. policy change.
So, yeah, they really are pounding away at Iraq here. And here's the deal. House Democrats have now decided what their plan is, to push for a troop pullout in Iraq. And this is complicated, but it's a fantastic game of chess to watch up here right now. House leaders are saying, we've got a bill that's attached to the budget. We've talked about this nearly $100 billion that the president wants for Iraq right now. He says, we have to have the money now. We're running. We've got problems that we need to fund immediately. And Democrats are in the House are saying, that's fine. We'll fund that, and we'll fund a little bit more. But as part of that same funding bill, we're going to add a series of basically reviews of what's happening in Iraq. The first one will be this July when the president has to certify that Iraq is making progress. That'll probably be the easiest one. By October, the president will have to certify that Iraq has met certain benchmarks. And then if the president can't certify either of those two things, immediately this bill would set in place a process to start withdrawing troops and to withdraw all U.S. troops within 6 months. So July is the first sort of gateway for that, then October. Now, if Iraq meets those benchmarks in both of those cases, Democrats would still then begin, under any circumstance, a troop pullout would start in March of next year, March 2008, a year from now, and that pullout would last until next fall. So they're attaching this timetable for withdrawal to money that the president needs. But we're already hearing from the White House that the president may threaten to veto that, which makes it all that more tricky because he needs the money. The question is, who will people blame if the troops don't get it? Will they blame him for vetoing it? Will they blame Democrats for setting up these criteria? Democrats are talking a very confident game today, and we'll see where this goes. Now, this bill has a lot of other stuff in it, but that is the main focus on Iraq.
So now, if the president vetoes it, I mean, there's no way that they can override the veto. That's not going to happen, probably.
I'd say it's very unlikely, but you don't. It's hard to say. I'd say it's unlikely, especially in the Senate and probably in the House as well. That's going to be very tricky to do.
And so, when you say it's the troop pullout, it's attached to certain criteria, certain benchmarks that have to be met. I mean, like such as what?
That's the question. We haven't seen the language yet today, and we're waiting for that. We're waiting to see how specific it gets. But it probably will have to do with some of the areas we've heard about before, that Iraq would have to work out its disputes over oil money, for example. They'd have to set some benchmarks for probably maybe levels of violence could be involved as well. It's hard to say, but those are some areas that we see mentioned a lot.
All right. There you go. CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, enjoy the rest of your afternoon, and I'm sure we will talk to you in the immediate future. And thank you again for being concerned about my mental health and the state of my personality today.
I am. And actually, isn't my boss coming up to see you?
Tyler Moody.
Today or tomorrow?
I'm unclear about the hierarchy at CNN and who's boss. And we're not even clear if Laura Caviezel still works there.
She does. She's on what's called a passport to, when you work at such a huge, ginormous, I think is the right word, company, they have all kinds of programs. And one is you can try on another job, but just get some new skills. And so she's doing that for a couple of months.
Are you sure that this is... How do I put this? Are you sure that that's real and that is this some sort of an office space thing where she thinks it's a new job, but really they just got her sitting in a tool shed somewhere maybe just to...
They send her off to France.
Right? I don't know. What is that from?
9 to 5.
9 to 5. Language lessons, France, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well done. Well spotted. All right. Hey, by the way, have you seen Breach?
No.
You have to see Breach, which is, of course, the story of Robert Hansen, who was the worst espionage case in the history of the United States. Chris Cooper, Ryan Phillippe, Laura Linney, probably the best performance of Chris Cooper's career, surpassing even his role in Adaptation. You have to, if you're a government geek, you have to see Breach, and you have to see The Good Shepherd.
Wow. I saw The Prestige over the weekend. I liked that quite a lot.
I was like, that and those, which is also on my list of, like, things that I got to see. So
yeah, you'd like it. It was good.
Excellent. Enjoy your day. We will talk to you very soon, Lisa.
All right. See ya.
There you go. CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. Fantastic. How are you doing over there? The whole thing, Sarah's just, like, scratching herself like a leper.
The more I read about this thing, and, oh, God, I'm just reading about bugs that look like it, and I don't know if it's it or not, but...
Now, what is it? Now, what are people... Well, we'll get these calls here because people are weighing in on the... you can see a picture of this gigantic insect that's lurking inside Sarah's shower. And here's the thing, before I take these calls. We talked about reaching some sort of detente with these insects where you just do... The worst thing is even if you were to find, like, a way to kill it, like if you were to douse it
with hot water
or whatever, then it's just laying there. And then you become responsible for the disposal of the body. It's like, you break it, you bought it, kind of a thing. That's like when I, last summer, I walked into my garage. And when I say garage, I don't mean a garage like you all have in suburbia, where it's, you know, where it's basically like a little guest house that you happen to park your massive SUV in. My garage is basically, my garage is like a tool shed made out of concrete. I mean, it's just dirty and just filthy, and just, it's basically just a tiny little concrete room. Yeah, Scotty is pointing out that four cars fit in his garage. My Ford Focus barely fits in my garage. That's how small it is.
Your garage is tiny.
My garage is tiny. It's disgusting. It's just filled with filth and just vileness and blackness and hate. It's just miniature. And there's no light in there. There's only the tiny little light that goes on when the garage door opener thing is activated. And so I walk into the garage, and what am I? And I'm not trying to get ready another case of the itches, but I walk in there. I hate to even use this phrase because it's so horrible. But I walk in there, and it is in the corner. It's just like the Black Widow nest. It's just awful. It's just awful. No, and so what do? I immediately go to the store, and I buy, like, 15 of those, like, bug bomb things, those, like, spray things. And I'm like... And it's like I'm trying to smoke out the Viet Cong from a tunnel. And I'm just... I open the garage door, and I'm like, you know, down, do you eat this, Charlie? You know, and I throw, like, five of them in, like, close the garage door. And it's not attached to the house. So I don't have to worry about inhaling it myself. So I throw all of them in. But then the worst part is... The very worst part. The bugs are dead, theoretically. And I got the one that, like, will kill Black Widows. I throw it in. We're all just scratching ourselves relentlessly. I walk into the garage. The worst part is then, for like the next day or two, just walking past just dead spiders everywhere in your garage. Just the ground is littered with hundreds of dead spider carcasses.
Oh,
it's
my
terrible.
God.
All right, we're going to take these calls.
Oh, people are just sending me all these pictures.
No, we're going to take these calls, and then we're never talking about this again. Ever. 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 We're never talking about this again. This is Mark. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's up?
I think I might be able to identify the bug, but I'm going to have to ask a couple questions about it.
All right.
Okay, so it's really long, has a lot of segments, a lot of legs.
Well, I don't know if it has a lot of segments. Let me look at a picture of it. Sarah has said it's at risk.
Oh, God, I can't even look at
this. You can see the picture, by the way, at sarahxdillon.com.
Unfortunately, I can't do that right now because I'm in transit.
I am just, but I'm looking for you. I'm saying it has many, many legs, but it looks to only have one long segment. It is sort of like, here's what it looks like. It looks like a,
it has like over 30 legs.
I was going to say, it looks like a tiny, tiny, tiny sausage link with like eyelashes on either side of it.
Oh, that's so wrong.
That's what it looks like.
That's what it looks like.
It looks like a sausage link with eyelashes. But I mean, the eyelashes being the legs. I'm just saying.
And the sausage being the eyes.
And the sausage, yeah. That's what it looks like. That probably doesn't help at all.
I want to say it's probably some kind of millipede, possibly.
Now, what is the difference? What is the difference between a centipede and a millipede?
Centipedes have a bit more of a flattened body. They generally have fewer legs because they have. See, I'm going to get all sciencey on you right now because I've been studying these things recently.
Uh-huh.
But a centipede only has one pair of appendages per segment, and a millipede has two pairs of legs per segment.
Yeah.
So they generally have more legs, but the centipede also has a bit more of a rounded body.
All right.
It sounds more. I meant millipede. Sorry. It sounds more like a millipede. And actually. You shouldn't have much to worry about because they're generally herbivores. You could probably just, like, pick it up. It probably wouldn't bite you.
Oh, no.
What would you even pick it up by? Pick it up by the legs?
Is it about the legs or my fingers?
Here's the thing. Here's what you have to know is when you use the phrase, you could probably pick this bug up, Sarah and I started waving our arms around like we were trying to ward off a herd of bees. If this helps you, it has, its legs have, like, black banding decorations.
And it has the front three legs on either side are really long, and then they kind of taper off toward the end, but then the back two legs are really long.
The whole thing is just terrifying. All right.
It's either a centipede or a millipede. Either a centipede or a millipede. I can narrow it down that much.
Can it be killed with fire?
Most likely, yes.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you.
That's Mark. Thank you, Mark. All right. Good God Almighty. Howard, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Yeah, Rick.
Hey.
Hey, I have a possible humane way of getting that out of the tub.
All right.
Get either a cup or a plastic bowl.
Bowl. It doesn't fit in a cup.
Put some holes in the bottom of the cup or the bowl. Plug up the drain, fill up the water, and see if the bug floats. And then just scoop it up and the water will go through the,
the
hole.
Like you could put it like in a colander. Catch it in a colander.
Yeah, like a strainer.
Yeah, exactly.
And then just put the cover on top of that, and then take it outside.
All right. No, that's not a bad idea. Okay, not a bad idea at all.
It's still there. I don't know.
All right. No, see, you're going to go home. That's the worst thing is it's going to be gone. You know you're going to go home, and it's going to be gone.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, Howard.
Yeah, thank you.
That's Howard. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. When is one of your roommates going to be home?
I don't know. We all have different schedules.
I love the idea of you pounding on your roommate's doors this morning to help you. And then as a last resort, you called me, and, like, what am I going to do?
I don't know.
Like, I'm in a building downtown. You could just, you know. What if you'd stepped on it? What if you hadn't seen it and stepped on it?
No. I'm glad I was moving because I saw something out of the corner of my eye when I was stepping in.
I think it's dust. All right. Rick, you realize this email says that black widows aren't in the Northwest. That's a lie. He said this is the closest that black widows can habitate is eastern Oregon. That is some BS. That is not true. There are black widows
in the Northwest. Brown recluses, but...
That's true. No, there are black widows in Oregon. There are black widows in Kennewick. Yeah. There are certainly black widows in Kennewick, which is only a couple hours north of here. I'm pretty positive there are black widows in Portland. All right. This whole thing is just terrifying. Let's do a couple more and then we'll break here. Let's see. This was inevitable. Hold on.
One big fiesta for illegal aliens.
Hi, Rick.
Hello, George. How can I help?
I knew exactly what bug it was when I heard the horror in her voice, and I hadn't even seen a photo yet.
So you just knew. As soon as you heard the discussion, you knew what it was. All right, what is it?
Well, I was sitting at the City Arts Council in Wilsonville, and there was a liaison from Southeast who came to the meeting. And out of his briefcase, this thing comes across the floor towards me. And I couldn't even move at first. It was so horrifying and fascinating. I felt like a cobra was approaching me. And I was going to kill it. But it managed to pull off some kind of Vulcan mind meld on me and said, "Don't kill me. You will regret it." So I scooped the damn thing up in a cookie jar. And I carried it, 5 miles from my house, but not in my car because I didn't want to even have it get away in my car. So I walked the damn thing out into a field and let it go.
That's fantastic. And I love the idea that, you blindfolded it and then you, made it walk in a circle a few hundred times. Then you put it in a trunk.
My wife was so horrified when she said, it was, strapped into this cookie jar, but she was like, "Don't drop the jar, don't drop the jar, I'll have to move."
Oh, yeah, and this somebody's pointing out, let's hope it's not a female that's laid thousands of eggs over her.
Can you imagine you left your home with that thing in there?
I couldn't do anything.
You know on Alien where they said, where the cat come bursting out of the locker?
Yeah.
And they say, "Oh, it's just a cat." Ash, we got to find this thing now.
No,
you got to find this thing.
I don't think it has the capability because the shower walls are really slippery and I have one of those
how did it get in there?
The glass. I think it came out of the drain. I'm pretty sure because one of them.
Well, that's even more terrifying. The idea that it can survive in a shower drain.
No, and one of them last summer it was a lot smaller than this one, but one of them came out through the drain in my sink.
And the locus point of these creatures, you're exporting them from Southeast, and they're coming out on luggage and crap.
Well, why should we suffer alone? All right,
thank
you.
Remember, denatured alcohol does wonders if it doesn't do a mind meld with you first.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
That's George.
I can't stop. You're crawling on me.
Seriously, when that guy's like, "You can pick it up," Sarah and I both started waving our arms around like we were trying to get rid of a horde of bees that were descending on us. All right, I'll take one more call here and then we'll break. This is Dan. Dan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, I think I got an ID on Sarah's bug.
All right.
It's probably a house centipede. One of them freaked out my girlfriend. She was up half the night on the internet trying to find just what bug it is.
He's freaking me out, and I'm 10 miles away from the house.
Well, there's good news and two bits of bad news.
Oh, do the bad first.
Bad news, painful bite.
Okay.
Second bit of bad news, we haven't seen it since we saw it about 2 months ago.
It's living inside your brain.
What about the good news?
Well, no, they live in houses. They like houses.
Okay, so what's the good news?
Good news, they eat other bugs. Oh. They're kind of on our side.
Well, sort of. They're on your side as long as you don't cross them.
The best bit, though, in the Midwest, they're known colloquially as fridge animals.
Fridge animals. Good God Almighty. All right. Thank you, my friend. That's a damn.
Oh, yeah. Someone just sent me a picture, and they said that it's actually called sometimes the bathtub bug.
This one says, "I don't know what it is, but it's not a centipede, and it's not a millipede." That's what I thought until I saw the pictures. "Listeners must view said horror before rendering an opinion," says Larry. All right. Oh, good God almighty.
This girl's saying that she had one, but she doesn't have a name for it. She's called the bathtub bug because it crawled out of her bathtub, too.
Yeah. All right. You gotta find out later if your roommates are going to be home. Because we...
Oh, God.
I have to know. See, because now I'm afraid that it's going to leave your house and start roaming the streets.
I could call my roommate to have him check to see if it's still in,
I don't know,
the bathtub.
Well, let's do that later on, then, because I got to know that it's dead.
Oh, my God. People keep sending me the most terrible pictures.
We're going to nuke it from orbit, to be sure. All right. We'll take a break here. We'll come back with Tim Riley around the corner. It's 503-733-2970. Later on, Jim Roop talks about some stuff that was in a guy's ass. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio.
Rhyme animals, the incredible beast. Over here, number one, 503. And I got...